presence. And my friends like Brother Breyer, Brother Hicks, and Brother Abernathy, and all the others that I know I've missed some, Brother Whitten this morning, Brother Danny. But it's always a privilege for me to be in your presence, and thank you for all you do for the cause of Christ in the fields where you labor. I've said this, and I still say it today as emphatically as I did 52 years ago. Every time the Lord calls a man to preach, he gives him a field to labor in.
Amen. Right.
The Lord doesn't call a man to preach and give him a gift and not have a field to labor. Everybody doesn't have the same gift to do what is necessary in the kingdom of God. Some pastors, teachers, evangelists, and I'll not belabor you with that point, but I'm thankful for whatever respect and what you do in the kingdom of God, and I'm thankful for that, that God will bless you in that in a great way. Call your attention tonight to Hebrews chapter 12 and beginning with verse 1. Very familiar scripture to you Bible readers, but I hope that you will take a special notice to it tonight and pray for me that I might glean something from it and you might take something with you. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. In the 40 chapter, or the 40 verses that precede this 12th chapter, we find a list of many heroes of the faith throughout all the Bible. And what you read about here are Old Testament characters of the faith. And when you read about those Old Testament characters of the faith, Paul describes their experience in this way in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He didn't say without faith it's hard to please him.
Right.
He said it's without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is what? That he's God. That he's omnipotent, that he's omnipresent, that he's all-powerful, the creator and sustainer of all things. And all those words, and I don't have a vocabulary to establish what needs to be said, but I can say this, that all of that embraces the infallible character of our God. And so Paul begins here in the 12th chapter and reminds us that seeing also that we, here in this time, not back there, but we now, and I believe the speaker included, and is applicable to us today, seeing we also are compassed, that is surrounded. You all know what a compass is. When we went to school, and I flunked geometry, but I remember what a compass was. That is that thing that you made a circle with. Isn't that right, Jay?
That's right.
All right. Well, the fact of the matter is that he says that we are compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And you read about them over here. The cloud of witnesses is identified, designated, and segregated in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Samson, and you read the list. How great it was, Noah, and all of those Old Testament characters who were characters of faith. Now I'm going to ask you a question, and it needs to be answered by those who would oppose salvation by grace. How did Old Testament characters get faith? Well, now, I know I'm preaching the choir, but how did Old Testament characters get faith? They got faith just like New Testament characters.
Amen.
Abraham got faith like Noah got faith. Noah got faith like Samson got faith. Paul got faith like Abraham got faith. And today, I want you to understand that you get faith just like they got faith.
Amen.
I believe I can take the Bible and prove that at the point of regeneration, the point of the new birth, that every elect child of God receives the measure of faith.
Amen.
That's where it comes from. Now, according to Galatians 5 and 22, faith is a fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
So that testifies to the fact that Abraham had the Spirit of God in him.
Amen.
Noah had the Spirit of God in him. Joseph, Moses, and all the others had the Spirit of God in them, if in fact they had faith.
Right.
Because faith is not that which precedes the giving of the Spirit, but faith is the fruit or the offspring of that indwelling work of God.
Amen.
Now, I was going to preach on something else, but he read my text, so I'm on. Now, the prayer was by the Apostle Paul, 1 Thessalonians 3, that he be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. Why? Because all men have not faith.
Right.
Now, there are many that will tell you, you can have faith if you want to have faith. I deny that till my dying day. Faith doesn't come like that.
Amen.
The Bible tells me in Ephesians 2 and 8 that faith is the gift of God.
Amen.
Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. If you've got faith, you've not got faith just because you decided you'd have faith, but you've got faith because God gave you faith.
Amen.
It's a fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the prerequisite, if you please, of faith itself. Now I'm telling you that because that's fundamental to what we believe. And yet the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 10 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's verbatim. Faith cometh by hearing. Well, I'm going to tell you that the faith under consideration there does come by hearing. Do you know what Paul said about the Galatian churches where he went to preach? He said, they never had seen me before. They've not known me by face. Read Galatians chapter 1. But they only knew about me that he which once destroyed the faith now preaches the faith that he once destroyed. Now what kind of faith is he talking about? He's talking about what we term gospel faith. the faith that was once and for all time delivered to the saints.
Amen.
The gospel of Christ. That is the faith. Sometimes, you know, somebody will marry outside the church. And you will say, well, he married a girl of another faith. Or she married a boy of another faith. Well, that just means that these people were not of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Outside of the faith. So faith cometh by hearing. It does. That faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You know what? I want to tell you, I can't remember a time in my life, Brother Danny, when I didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't remember a time in my life when I didn't believe that God was the Creator. I can't remember a time in my life when I didn't believe in the Holy Spirit and felt it many times. But I want to tell you right now, I never believed the truth till I heard about it. You hear me? That's what happened. I heard about it. Now, I know I understood some of it. I know I understood part of it. I understand that. I was rocked in an old Baptist cradle. But I want to tell you right now, there's one day that I went to church, and old Brother Woodley from over to Walker County, Alabama, was there. And I may have told this here. I don't know, but I'll tell it again right now. Do you know that I went to church and when Saturday meeting came, I want to tell you, we put the mules in the stable and turned the cows in the calf. You know what? I mean, we went to church on Saturday, on our Saturday meeting. And so, anyway, we drove up down there on the grounds, and there he stood. And I looked out the window and I said, oh, Lord God, there he is again. We're going to be here all evening. He's long-winded. He's ugly. He looks like everything but a preacher. He really does. But that old man got up to preach. And the more he preached, the better looking he got. And before he got through, I decided, well, I don't know what it is about this crowd, but whatever they got, I want some of them. And you know what? Preaching made sense to me that day.
Right.
Preaching made sense to me. The Word brought it in a manifest way. It didn't give me faith that I got in regeneration, but I'll tell you what it did. It identified with the faith I already had.
Amen.
It identified with it. It was a declaration of truth. No wonder Paul could say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which ye have heard, which ye have received, and by which ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain.
Right.
I want to tell you right now, there's salvation in the gospel.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I didn't say there's eternal life in the gospel. I said there's salvation in the gospel. And I believe there's a saving element in the gospel.
Amen.
A saving element in the preaching of the Word of God. And I affirm to you today that unless the work of faith is already in your heart, you can preach the gospel all you want to, and it'll never benefit that object of God's salvation. But that first faith must be there. That first work of grace. And what a blessing it is to know that the apostle preached here, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now you're talking about God's children here. You got any weights? You know, I was sluggish in school. I wasn't very fast, but we had to run the track. And you know what? They put some weights on our feet one time and buckled them on. And I like to die trying to run around a football field one time. It felt like that they weighed 10 pounds apiece, and I just couldn't run. I was so give out when I got back to the they had to carry me off the field almost. But you know what? They took those things off, Brother Chase. And when they did, I made a step, and I felt like I could have jumped to the moon.
Yes.
That's what the weight did. It weighted me down. Let me tell you right now, children of God, today,
That even though you have faith in your heart and in your soul that's given you as a gift of God, I want to tell you, there are things in this world that will weight you down.
Amen.
They'll weight you down. I said it, may have said it this morning down there with Brother Whitman then. You know, Christ died between two thieves, but we live between two thieves. We live between the regrets of the past and the worries of tomorrow. And they will rob you of the blessing of today.
Amen.
They will rob you of the blessing of today. But I'll tell you, when you're able to come to the house of God, when you're able to sit and sing the songs of Zion, when you're able in a wonderful way being taken above to that upper room and sit down in the very presence of God, so to speak, and almost reach up and touch His face to receive that manna from heaven, I want to tell you right now, it's an experience that's above my pay grade to explain.
Amen. Right.
I just can't do it. I've tried it.
Right.
But I know it's real, you see. I know it's real. Why? Because I know the Word of God is real.
Amen.
And I know when it's preached in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God that it touches and moves the child of God who has been inundated with faith from God above. The sins that does so easily beset us. I believe that sin, you can believe what you want to about it. I won't argue with you about it. I'm here to fuss with you about it. But I want to tell you one thing. I believe the sin of unbelief hampers us.
Amen.
The sin of unbelief hampers us. Oftentimes we become fearful. Oftentimes we become afraid of what's out there. And you know, we live in a fearful time. I'll admit that. We do. We live in a fearful time. You don't know what's coming next. Somebody calls my office and wants permission to take down the statue. And I say, no, we're going to sue you. I said, well, get in line. Amen.
Amen.
Get in line. And I'll just tell you, that statue ain't coming down in front of my courthouse, you see. Amen. I got off on that, but I'll give you that and not charge you for it. All right. What I'm saying to you is today that those things can hamper us. Those things can and do bring us oftentimes to the brink of saying, what's the use? We'll just throw in the towel. Don't tell me that's not so. But I want you to understand this. When that unbelief pops up, when that fear pops up, and it besets us so easily, I want to tell you, remember that we are looking unto Jesus.
Amen.
Not looking to the government, not looking to men for leadership, but we are looking unto Jesus, who is what? The author and the finisher of our faith. And then he identifies himself in his character, who for the joy that was set before him. You know, I heard a man talk the other day, and he said, Jesus prayed three times trying to get out of dying. I want to tell you right now, my friend, Jesus didn't pray trying to get out of dying. When he died, I want to tell you, God's will was done.
Right.
When he died, he finished the work and completed all that God had designed in the covenant of redemption before the world began. And I'll tell you, when he faced the cross, even when those that were there spit on him, it wasn't any surprise. Read Isaiah chapter 53. Read Psalms 22. Read it all. It's back there. It was a prophecy that could not be broken. That's what he's saying here. But I'm telling you that when the Lord Jesus went to the cross, even though wicked men put him to death, I'll tell you right now, it was for the joy. It was for the joy that was set before him. That's the reason you could say, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work.
Amen.
Who for the joy, who for the joy that was set before him, all the pieces now put together. You know, today's Father's Day, and I wasn't at home today, but
last Saturday, I've been wanting a new grill. And I'm not a griller, but I wanted one. So my children brought me a real fancy grill. Now, what I'm going to do with it, I don't know. If I want them to know, is this on? Because I don't want them to know what I'm saying, all right? So, you know what? That's the reason I'm afraid to preach anymore, Brother Eddie. You know, it gets back home before I do sometimes. You know that? It really does. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is this. Is that I hate putting things together. I mean, I do. Because when I get through, I got stuff left over. I don't want to put it together. I'll pay somebody twice what it's worth just to get it put together. You know, I was going to help my neighbor one day put a swing set together. And when I got through, I had more left over than I had when I started. I mean, that's just the truth. Well, that's the way it was with this grill. And you know, I found out if I'd read the directions, it would help a whole lot. Just read the directions. I mean, just scan the directions. Well, I want you to understand today, brothers and sisters here at Sandy Branch Church tonight, in this world that is no friend of grace, and to you young people that are here tonight, I want you to understand that this world is no friend to grace. You're not going to influence a lot of people and make a lot of friends coming to the Primitive Baptist Church. It just ain't going to happen. Now, I don't want to burst your bubble, but now it just don't work like that. You know why? It's too simple. It's too simple. It's not complicated. God's worship's not complicated. The gospel's not complicated. If you can just, somebody said, let God have his way. I got news for you, my friend. God's going to have his way.
Amen.
You hear me?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter what you think about it. Doesn't matter whether you like it or not. God's going to have his way. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And whether you understand it or not, it is right. It is right. But looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now the pieces of the puzzle. There are going to be pieces left. Everything's going to come together. Who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? Endured the cross. Endured the cross. Despising the shame. And is sit down on the right hand of the throne of God. Read Psalms 110. I don't have time to go back there, but you can read it. For consider him. Now that's what I want you to do. Consider him. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. I want you to consider him. What did he have to go through? Everywhere he went, he met with opposition, didn't he?
Yeah.
Everywhere he went. They accused him on occasion after occasion after occasion. If you're really the Son of God, if you're really the Son of God, just give us a sign. That's all we require. Well, you know, Paul said the Jews require a sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. Just give us a sign. That's all we want. You know what Jesus said? It is a wicked and an adulterous generation that seeketh after a sign.
Right.
No sign shall be given. What do you use? Faithful Abraham? No. Who? Noah? No. A character of the faith? No. But he used a rebellious prophet, didn't he? A rebellious prophet named Jonah. That's who he used to describe him. For just as Jonah lay in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, even so, there's that connective comparative.
Yes.
Even so must the Son of Man lay in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. Tear this temple down and I'll raise it again in 3 days. They were so ignorant, they thought he was talking about that temple at Jerusalem.
Right.
But he talked about his body, didn't he? Consider him. That's what he went through. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself.
consider him when he came to the woman at the well. He said, if you knew who it was, if you just knew who it was that speaketh unto thee, why, he'd do something for you that you never thought possible. He'd give you living waters. He'd give you living waters. There's something about coming in contact with the Lord Jesus. There's something about understanding that relationship that we have. I want to tell you today, my friend, you know what kind of relationship you have? I'll tell you what you've got. This is what it is. You're not only an heir of God, but you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're a part of His will. Now, I'm enough of a legal expert to tell you this. Nobody ever got in a will on their own.
That's right.
You hear me? I deal with it every day. The only way you ever got in a will, I don't care whether you're related or not, is because of somebody else.
Yeah.
And the only reason today, my friend, that you're in the will of God is not because of your faithfulness, but because of the faithfulness of the Son of God.
Amen.
Who endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind.
Right.
Oh, listen to this. Now, what a great lesson for us this is. Oh, I understand how that God chose His people in Christ. I understand how that He's finally going to come back and receive them all. I understand how He redeemed them by His blood. I understand all that. But I want to tell you, there are times that I get wearied in my mind.
Yeah.
There are times that I get tired. You know, driving up here yesterday, I just thought, why in the world did I tell them I'd come up there? Amen. Y'all ever get that way? Don't tell me you don't. I mean, you don't have to raise your hand. I know better than that. Now, after I got here, I'm glad I come. But when you left 5 hours back, you know, I wonder about it sometimes. Why in the world did I do that? I get weary. I get tired. There are times in my life that I want to throw in the towel. There are. And then there are other times that I leave shouting happy. I'm stirred in a revival. I'm stirred to a greater service unto God. I'm stirred to remember and consider Him who died, rose, and revived, that He might be God of the dead and of the living. I'm stirred to do that, and I hope you are. Because God knows we need a revival in the land. Amen.
Amen.
God knows we need the revival among our churches. Amen.
Yes.
God knows, I'm not afraid of that word revival.
No.
God knows we need one. Amen.
Amen.
You can't revive the dead. Amen. You know, if you try to put water on dead grass, you know what it'll do? It won't revive, it'll rot. That's right. But I'll tell you, if there's any life there, when you put water to it, it'll come out green, won't it? That's right. It'll come up. That's right. I'm not afraid of that word revival. It's been drugged through the mud and misapplied and everything else. But I want to tell you right now, tonight, you know what? I feel like I'm having a revival. Amen.
Amen.
I feel like that. I feel good. I feel good. You know, I've not been well the last year. And you know, we can all identify with some of that. But I want you to understand, tonight, here at Sandy Branch Church, we can feel the reviving spirit in our heart and soul. And thank God we need that. In this world that is no friend of grace, because we become weary and faint in our mind. I had a young man come to see me not long ago, and he was from out west, and I've known his people a long time. But anyway, he stopped by and he saw me for a while, and he said, "Brother Ricky, I'm in trouble." I said, "Why, what in the world's wrong?" He said, "I've sinned away the day of grace." Now you think about that. I didn't ask him all the particulars. I didn't ask him to hang all his dirty laundry out on the line. I'm not going to ask anybody else to do that.
But hearing that man that was 23 years old, traveling from Port Talis, New Mexico, to Jacksonville, Florida, he began to tell me how he had sinned away the day of grace. I said, what do you mean, sinned away the day of grace? He said, I'm so far gone. He said, I can never regain my standing with the Lord. Now you talk about being weary. You talk about being faint-hearted. I said, who told you that? He said, well, I see myself, and when I see myself, I see myself too far outside the realm of God's love. I said, my friend, I don't know who told you that or why you came to that conclusion, but you can't get that far out.
Amen.
You can't get that far out. And we talked for probably 2 hours, and he began to tell me about how he dropped the ball, how that he'd missed the mark, and how that he needed some things that it just didn't seem like he could gain. And I said, I'm going to tell you about a man by the name of David who did the same thing. You know, you think about David. Why, you know, you think about David. He's a man who wrote the 23rd Psalm. He killed Goliath, the giant. You know what else he did? He is party to murder. Yeah. Don't tell me that's not so. He's a party to murder. I can give you a long list of all of that. There's a man that God sent. And you know, Nathan came, and when he began to talk to him, he said, if a man had a ewe lamb and somebody came and took it, the only one he had, what would you do? Why, David said, I'd put him to death. He put his bony finger in his face and said, you're guilty. You're the man. You're the man. Now, we may not be guilty of all of that, but I want to tell you one thing, my friend. You and I stand guilty.
Amen.
Before God. And the very best that we can do is not enough to bring us into a vital relationship with Christ. It's not enough. But you know, one of these days, we're going to go to heaven. And you know, I've said this before, when everybody gets to heaven, everybody will be a primitive Baptist sin, amen? But you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to look at some of those folks and say, I told you so. I'm going to look at Abraham, and I'm going to say, Abraham, I want you to tell me your experience. Abraham, I want to know how it felt when you carried your only son that God had promised you up there. I want to know how that felt. I want to know how that felt. Don't you know it took that old man's soul? Can you understand the experience that he went through? Don't you know he was weary in his mind? I'll tell you right now that in the face of all of that, he was looking unto Jesus, who was the author and the finisher of his faith. Now, you know, there's always been a question, Brother Danny may remember it, among our people, but I want to tell you, is the question is, did Abraham exercise faith, or did faith exercise Abraham? Now, that's always been a question. You young folks don't know about all those controverted points that's come up among our people all over the country, but, you know, that's one of them. Did Abraham exercise faith, or did faith exercise Abraham? I confess to you, I don't know, and it doesn't matter, but I'm telling you one thing, that he carried his only begotten son up there, the one he promised him, and when he got there, he had a problem, but I'll tell you right now, God had a provision, didn't he?
Amen.
Yes, sir. And you and me got a problem today.
That's right.
Yes, sir. It's called sin. Yes, sir. Sin. S-I-N. And I's in the middle. Amen. I was in the middle. But I want to tell you right now, there's also a provision for that problem. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down. Why? Because he's finished. He's done. Well, somebody said, "Preacher, I tell you, that just seems too simple to me."
Amen.
There's just not enough to it. There's got to be more to it than that. There's got to be more to it. You want me to tell you how simple salvation is? I'll tell you how it is. That God comes to where you are.
Right.
Hear me?
Amen. That's right.
You don't have to come to where He is. God comes to where you are. Never did God Almighty, Jesus Christ, the apostles, nor anybody else ever command the dead to come to them. They went to where the dead were. Every time. And I don't want to, again, I don't want to discourage you, but I want to tell you, a man by nature is dead in sin. Dead. That doesn't mean sick in sin, that means dead. You know, dead's an adjective you can't compare. There's no such thing as dead, deader, and deadest. You can't compare that adjective. No such thing as dead, deader, and deadest. If a man's dead, he's dead. Now, you know, some smart addict back there is going to say, "Well, I read about a man as half dead one time." Yeah, you did. But you know what that means? I've done a word study on that. Don't try to pull all that stuff on me. I'm too old. When he said he's half dead, that means he is completely unable. Check that out, you know. Now, no such thing as dead, deader, and deadest. That's an adjective you can't compare. And I'll tell you right now, when you understand that man is dead, and, you know, I heard a fellow there on the radio said, now, man is like a man in a well. And the preacher lets down the rope to him and says, "Take on to the rope. Grab it, and I'll get you out with the gospel." Have faith enough to take on to the rope. Well, there's only one problem. That fellow's dead. I want to ask you how he's going to reach up. But after he's been made alive, after he's been made alive, after that he has been quickened, then with that life he's able to reach up. And what did the Bible say? Lay hold on eternal life.
Right.
That didn't make him a child of God. That's evidence he's already had life.
Right.
And I'll tell you today, when you consider all of those things, how blessed we are.
Amen. Right.
To know that our works are not sufficient, that God's grace is sufficient, and that our faith is insufficient, but God's faithfulness outshines and excels everything that we know. Everything else fails to the background in the face of the faithfulness of God. And that's what it boils down to in the work of salvation. The faithfulness of God. I fail at so many things, but I'll tell you right now, the faithfulness of God will not and cannot fail. Somebody said, "Well, if God got faith?" That's right. He gives you faith, and God can't give something He does not possess.
Yeah.
Hear me? God's faith or God's faithfulness is what He gives to you in the work of regeneration. And surely, you know, that needs strengthening. The disciples said that. "Lord, increase our faith." Yeah, somebody said, "Get faith in God." No, it don't say that. It says, "Have faith in God." It doesn't say get faith, it says have faith. The disciples, their faith needed increasing. Their faith became weak. Their faith became almost impossible to find. And you know that's mine in your experience. I don't care who you are, how strong you may become. You might get like that young man that came to see me. His faith became weak. He said, "I've sinned away the day of grace." I'll tell you, you can go back and find those characters in the Bible in that same condition. But children of God, tonight as I close, I want you to understand that you have something in Christ that you will not and cannot lose.
You have that work that is in Christ that He gave to you that you will not and cannot lose. And I'm thankful today that I can stand here and tell you from this country preacher from Alabama that there's a God in heaven who is going to keep that promise and that faith that God Almighty gave to you. You're going to have that when you breathe your last breath.
Amen.
You know why? Because that's the gift of God, and all the devils in hell can't take it away. It becomes weak. It becomes almost non-existent. But then you come to the house of God, and the preaching of the gospel takes place, and then your faith is strengthened. That faith is swelled up in your very being. And then we take on a new attitude. I'm not discouraged anymore. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I'm looking unto Him. I don't care what men say. I don't care what they do. You know, I'd like to tell you that I didn't say. I'd like to tell you that I didn't care what people think, but I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do something the other day. Susan said, "What's somebody going to think?" And I got thinking about it, and I said, "Yeah, what are they going to think?" You know, people think all the time. Sometimes I think they think. I don't know whether they do or not. You know what I mean? That's the truth. I don't know whether they think or not. I'm questioning that. Boy, I see. That's the truth. But I wonder about what people think, and I worry about what people think. I want them to think well of me. I really do. And you know what? The reason is that I think that is because I've got enough humanity about me and enough vanity till I want to please somebody. And you do too. We buy things we don't need with money we hadn't got to please people we don't like. Pray over that and that'll come to you in a minute. Don't, you know, I mean, we do that. We do that. You know, I've got children. You know, I was telling Larry the other day, I said, you know, I want to buy me a new four-wheeler, but I'm afraid the kids will take it. Amen. You know, they got them all now. I ain't got anything now. It's all over there somewhere. You know, I've lost it all to them. And I'll tell you right now, it gets under my skin sometimes. It really does. Mama says aggravated. But you know what? When I look at myself, you know, I find out that nut didn't fall too far from the tree. Because I remember how I did Daddy. I remember how all that came about. Now, I've said all that, and I've rambled around all of that to get back to this point to close. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside these weights and run with patience. Now, that's a big word. Run with patience. What? The race that is set before us. How are we going to do it? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Brothers and sisters, I love you tonight, and I want you to run the race. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I thought about Brother Manley coming up here. He's not able to be here tonight, but I guarantee you his mind is centered on this place. I guarantee you that. There's plenty of folks that can't get here, can't get to other places that they love, but their mind is centered on this place. They're still running the race. You hear me? And yet weighted down, but still running the race. Today, I want to encourage you to run the race with patience, remembering the sacrifice of Christ and giving us that wonderful and blessed faith to continue in such a manner that would be pleasing to God, remembering what He's done for us and the beautiful examples that we have here. I love you all. Pray for me that I would ever be faithful in the service of God. Run the race.
looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Amen.